Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Hey, Tanner Adele, welcome back.
Hello.
Welcome back to the UK. Welcome back to Absolute Radio Country. I mean, you've hosted a show here on the station.
Yes, I feel like I'm kind of an old timer now.
Yeah. How did you find hosting a show?
It was so fun. You know, I love being in charge of things. So,
right, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Darius Rucker's been hosting some shows here on the station.
Oh, really?
You know, he moved to the UK.
Did he really?
Yeah, he lives here
now. It's kind of my dream.
Would you like to move to the UK?
Yes.
Why?
I love it here. I'm like kind of a sucker for rainy weather too. I actually love the weather in London.
Yeah.
I love sweaters. Obviously, you can see.
Yes.
Love sweaters. I love my wigs, and my wigs get real hot. So.
The weather does do what you want it to do when you think of London. You're like, okay. And you just have to go with it. There are many days. I mean, it's when it's been like 2 weeks and you haven't seen the sun.
Yeah. That does sound a little bit difficult. But yeah.
But you're more of a rainy any weather type of girl?
I mean, I love the beach as the next person.
Part of your growing up was in California, right?
Yes. I like love the sun and the sand and the water, but like I just feel at my most calm and like happiest. I love rainy days. I love rainy days.
So do you write a lot when it's rainy? Is that a
I definitely feel more inspired, I think, when it is raining, because sometimes when it is sunny, I'm like, oh, well, I want to be outside. But when it's raining, you just want to be inside.
True.
Drinking your tea and writing a few songs.
Yes.
Hanging out with my dogs.
Yes. What's your dog's name?
Butter and Mochi.
Is that one dog or two?
Two.
Okay.
So Butter.
Yes.
And Mochi. And Butter Mochi is my favorite snack. So, from Hawaii.
Are they the same type of dog?
Kind of. One is a mini poodle Bichon mix, and the other one is just a Bichon.
Precious baby angels.
And his head, he has a haircut called Happy Ball Head.
Yeah.
And his head is just like
just a perfect
big cloud.
Ball.
Yes.
Oh, isn't it great when you go and get them groomed and they come back and you're
well,
like.
Well, I do it myself.
Do you?
I do. I don't trust anyone else to do it. And I've heard so many horror stories. And
it's such a thing, though.
Yeah.
Because I have a Scottish Terrier, and they need to be groomed a lot. And he is adorable.
Yes.
And as close as I've gotten is like yesterday, he came in, needed a bath, and I trimmed his eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
And that was already enough. So he can now see. And I was like, I feel like you're fine until the next time.
Yeah.
So did you have to watch loads of YouTube videos?
Yes. I did, actually, and that's what led me to getting my dogs in the first place.
What? Wait. Didn't watch YouTube videos because you had a dog and wanted to groom them.
Right.
You were already into dog grooming videos and then got a dog.
Yes, there are. So Bichons are really, really popular in South Korea.
Yeah.
And I found a page called Lovely Grooming. And it was all these cute little Bichons and little poodles. And I would watch grooming videos for hours. It was my, like, slow TV.
I got
that. Was grooming videos. Because they're like an hour long.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, chilling, watching the grooming videos. And I finally was like, these dogs are so cute. And I already know how to groom it now.
Yeah.
And so I got to.
I love it.
Yeah.
I watch, when I'm trying to switch off my head, I've never been on a cruise, like a cruise ship. And I don't know.
You're not
how,
missing. Much.
No, I get that. But I don't know how I fell into this. But if I have a really busy day and I just have a moment to grab lunch, just to take my mind completely off of my day, I will watch people giving tours of their own cruise ship experience. So they'll like get on like whatever cruise, you know, here I am on Princess Cruises.
I think I would
I'm gonna
like
take
that.
You around. And I find it so soothing. And so now
so you're not scared of boats or anything like that?
I mean, I guess not. I've never been on one. But I mean, kind of like you, never been on a cruise, into cruise YouTubes.
That's insane.
I like tours around theme parks as well.
Oh, I haven't done that before, but that kind of sounds, I think the cruise one might be for me because I've been on cruises.
Because they'll go through the whole buffet.
I'm scared of them.
And rate that.
Oh, through the buffet.
They'll do you a cabin tour.
Yeah.
You know, they'll take you to the nightclub. They go to the bingo.
How long are these videos?
I mean, they're about the same length as a dog grooming video. Yeah, they're a good hour.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that next time I feel like I need a vacation.
So you're quite crafty. So you're grooming dogs. And I saw on your socials you make a lot of costumes and outfits as well.
Yes, a lot of my costumes I make myself.
So how long have you been doing that?
Kind of since the beginning. I don't know, when you're an artist, I'm a little bougie, but bougie on a budget, and it's easy to go pick up some fabric, and my favorite fabric store is, I grew up going to it with my grandmother. She's the one who taught me how to sew. It's Joann's.
Right.
Sadly, is going out of business and closing it. I mean, it's a huge thing right now in the States.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to finding new, maybe boutique and more indie, you know, privately owned fabric shops. But
we have a store here in London that only sells ribbons. Only ribbons.
What's it called and where is it?
Vivi Rouleau.
Oh, yeah, that's a vibe.
And it's in, I'll tell you where it is afterwards if you want to go, but it'll blow your mind.
I have to go there.
And I think I think maybe they have a few buttons, but it's mainly ribbons.
I do love buttons.
And it's beautiful.
You'll be so inspired. Into buttons.
Well, find a button store.
I've got your ribbon store. What is it?
Vivi Rouleau.
Vivi Rouleau.
I'll tell you about it when we're off air.
Vivi Rouleau. Do I sound crazy?
Yeah. And it's in a great part of town with lots of shopping, so you enjoy it. We should talk about your music, shouldn't we?
I mean...
We're just getting to know each other. We're getting to know each other. Yes. Do you know what? I was describing you before you came in, because I've seen you several times. Mm-hmm. Both in the UK, I saw you at CMA Fest in Nashville when you were playing the spotlight stage or whatever it is.
In the stadium.
In the center of the stadium.
Yeah.
Yes. You turn it out so hard, no matter where you are, which is what I love about it.
Thank you.
It really reminded me, the only other person that I've seen do it the way that you do it in a small setting, years ago, got to see this new artist at this little club in London that was in a basement. There were about 80 people there. And she turned it out as if she was playing like Wembley Arena.
Mm.
And we were all like, wow, she's going to be a big deal. And it was Lady Gaga.
Ugh.
Which also, made a lot of her own costumes and stuff as well.
Yeah, you know? I believe so.
And when I saw you the first time, I was like, my God, like I can't control. This is uncontrollable.
That's like the biggest compliment ever.
But it's amazing because you see a lot of artists and everybody does it differently. And sometimes, you know, they'll be playing to 50 people and they look like they're playing to 50 people. And sometimes they're playing to 50 people and it looks like you're on stage at the O2. Mm. And every time I've seen you, whether it was to 80,000 people or whatever it is at that stadium in Nashville, or, you know, you did some lovely stuff when you were at C2C last time, like the Holler stage and some of the smaller stages, but you were still just turning it out. Do you go to a place in your head? Like, what happens to you when you're doing those things?
I can't help it. That's like, I think the answer that I'll be searching for my whole life is just what really happens between, like, me playing video games on my couch on a rainy day with my dogs and the stage, because there's just something that just, I don't know, I just think I was made for it. And it's just, I'm at my happiest when I'm performing. I think you can probably tell.
Yeah, it comes across for sure. But then also, I mean, clearly you like to have quiet moments as well, you know.
I'm very introverted.
Yeah, making things or you know, cutting your dog's hair. Like, all of those things are very kind of, you know, almost personal, small things.
Yes.
That it's not, that it's kind of the yin and yang, I guess.
I'm a homebody.
Yeah.
When I go out, it's to be on stage.
Well, you achieve it. It must be nice to kind of come to a place like the UK, start coming, and then every time you come see the progression in your career and see that more people know what you're doing and see that you're on bigger stages and things like that.
It's like, it's so funny because I love it here. It has been like all these really incredible steps into playing the main stage for C2C in the O2 when the first time I performed here was at C2C, but it was all side stages.
Yeah.
I played like five of them and it was just acoustic. I had just, Matt was my guitarist and played all the shows and it was amazing and I had the best time ever. The next time I came back was my own headlining show, which I sold out at also Hackney.
Yeah.
And that was
which is a cool venue.
It's so cool. Such a vibe. I feel like every time I come back, it just like is one step further.
Yeah.
And I don't see that in any other place. I feel like it's such a clear like line, like a timeline of my growth here in London.
And so when you say you don't see that in any other place, like when you're in the States, is it just because you're doing so much and you're constantly like,
because
you know, like you don't see a friend for a while and then you'll see them again and you'll be like, your hair is different or your da 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 da. But when you see somebody every day, you kind of don't notice it. Do you think that's the case?
I don't think so. I think with country music, it's so special coming to places outside of the United States.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, London has just been a place that has consistently been on my timeline. And so I really don't think there's another place that I've experienced that. Like, it's not like, you know, I didn't start in the bars in Broadway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't really play a whole lot in Nashville, like, as it is. I kind of just play CMA Fest, and I'm sure I'll play, you know, bigger venues there. But for whatever reason, London happens to be the place where I have just, like, grown, and I can see the growth.
We get you.
Absolutely.
And you
very much.
And it feels like you get the UK as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, like you seem very at home
I'm
here.
Learning.
I mean, like, you know where to get your ribbons.
I know now.
You are also a multi-instrumentalist.
I am.
I love what you have done with not only your career, but your life. And who cares if I like it or not? I'm just telling you because I admire it. You kind of reclaimed the whole Buckle Bunny thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which you've talked about endlessly. Yeah. But, we can briefly touch on that in case people haven't heard that.
Yes.
So tell us about Buckle Bunny in case people haven't heard about it.
I mean, Buckle Bunny is the name of my mixtape, my EP. There's only a couple songs on there, but I wanted it to feel like you got a little bit of every piece of me. So there's all the way down to really stripped back traditional country all the way up to straight up pop crossover country. You get a little bit of everything on it. And the song specifically, Buckle Bunny, felt like it was the right song to be the title of this because it just embodied everything that I felt like I was, like the state of mind that I was in when I created that whole mixtape.
And for people who don't know what Buckle Bunny means.
A Buckle Bunny used to be a term for a woman who would go to the rodeo all dressed up and try to get with the winning cowboy. So it wasn't like a nice thing to call people, but I was called a Buckle Bunny. I've been called a Buckle Bunny my whole life because I like to look like this and go to the rodeo and be cute and dolled up. And some people don't love that, but I want to take it and turn around, flip it on its head because I'm confident in who I am, and I want other people to feel confident wearing what they want and looking the way they want to.
Yeah, see, this was my point about, and you need no one's approval, but this was my point, is that I love you reclaiming what would be an insult for a lot of people.
Yes.
And then, you know, talking about being a multi-instrumentalist, I think it's so easy for people to assume because, you know, you're making these great, fantastic costumes and you've got this massive stage presence and you've, you know, calling yourself a Buckle Bunny and all of these things that people like to put people in boxes for, right? Whether it's in music or whether it's just in life. People like to make all sorts of assumptions about people based on what they look like. And what I love about you is you just confound that at every single turn, because I'm sure that there will be people in your career who have seen you and know nothing about you and would never assume that you can, you know, play the violin and the piano and the bass and that you make your own, you know, like, is that just the person that you are, or is that a result of people just poking at you your whole life? Because I think people can really relate to this, because everybody has something that people use as a stick to beat them down.
Yeah.
And it's how you come over, how you kind of overcome that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's a mix of both. I think, you know, I try my best to let people in and, you know, let them see me creating my outfits, like on my social media and things like that. But there's always going to be people who I think just take you for surface level and will make their own assumptions about that. But I don't know. That's a good question. I think I'm just trying to be as authentic to myself as possible because I have a very busy schedule. I have a very busy life. There's a lot of energy that goes into it and I can't spend energy on
trying
to be someone else.
And you gotta trim them dogs too.
Yeah, and while also grooming my dogs. Like, I don't want to spend energy on trying to be something that I'm not. So I just am absolutely everything that I am. And you can take it or leave it.
Isn't it interesting that Nashville and country music in general is a place where authenticity as a word is thrown around so very much. But actually, when you boil it down, authenticity means one very specific thing, or it's a very kind of defined binary idea of authenticity, because you're being so authentic.
Yeah.
But when I think, well, a lot of times when people in country music talk about authenticity, it means like I'm wearing a plaid shirt and talking about trucks,
right,
like, and I've got authentic cowboy boots, even if I came from, you know, New York City.
Yes.
It's interesting to me, the whole idea of authenticity, because everybody is so off. You can be authentic in so many different ways as long as you're authentic to yourself.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think that's what Nashville means when they say authentic.
No comment.
Oh, that's all the comment we need.
Hey, you clocked that. You clocked Nashville just like that.
I see it every day. Speaking of no comment. Are you tired of talking about Beyoncé?
No, I'll talk about her.
Oh, I'll talk about Beyoncé.
Every single day.
So the New Year's Day, it was a day? Eve.
Christmas.
Thing. There she is. You didn't make that costume.
That was Dolce & Gabbana. And that was my first time in Dolce & Gabbana, and I'm not mad about that.
So what was that? So you're on Beyoncé's Cowboy Carter album, Blackbird, the wonderful song From It. And there you are. I mean, that, what a huge, huge from the beginning, right? Like, I'm going to be on a Beyoncé album. I'm singing with Beyoncé. I'm on this huge project that's going to be enormous and also, of course, ruffle stupid feathers all over the place.
Yes.
Already that's big enough, I would imagine. And then the call comes that you're going to do this Christmas Day thing. And were you like, I need to get my hot glue gun out. I got to make an outfit.
That did cross my mind. That was the first thing, was like, what am I going to wear? Something, you know, you should know when you're working with Beyoncé is you don't have to worry about anything.
Did you have any say in your outfit, or was it kind of like...
Yeah, kind of, you know, and there was a whole testing period and trying on things, and there's four of us, so it's kind of figuring out the vibe of what we all feel comfortable in and what we all look good in, what the queen wanted it to look like.
Uh-huh.
It all came down to, you know, her decisions and what she wanted. It's her show.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure. You know, I tried on a couple different things, and the Dolce & Gabbana was my favorite, though. So I am glad that she went with that one.
Do you think you'll work with her again?
I hope so. You know, I'm on such a journey right now, and self-discovery as well. I've been writing this album for almost 2 years, and I am really excited to start kind of unfolding these layers of songs that I have that are really special to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so focused on that right now that it's hard to think about doing any collaborations with Beyoncé again.
It's a nice place to be.
But I do hope in the future that I get to work with her again. She's a beautiful person.
Okay, so you mentioned you're working on new music. What's next?
So this song is called Going Blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Your eyes.
Yes.
They lit up.
I know. I'm
need a wig.
I know, because I haven't even heard it
yet.
You
want
We're getting
mine?
Ready to play it for the first time.
I mean, so this song is, it took a lifetime for me to write. I wrote it by myself. It is the story of kind of my healing process in learning about my birth family. So I was adopted.
Okay.
And a few years back, I was found by my birth family, and lots of things came out.
They found you.
Yes. In this process, found out that I wouldn't be meeting my birth mother, and she had passed away about 5 years before my family was able to find me. And this was something that I struggled with deeply. I have four siblings that I grew up with. We're all adopted.
Okay.
None of us look alike. I obviously didn't look like my adopted parents. My whole life was spent wondering why I looked this way and why I like to sing and why I like to dance. And I had looked forward to the moment I would meet my birth mother. It was something I looked forward to for a long time. So finding out that I wouldn't have that opportunity was devastating. And it took a few months of processing that, but I fell in love with this picture of her It was the first picture that I ever saw of her. And I contacted my brother and I was like, who's now one of my best friends. Like, we're like family, my nephews, I love it. Like, we're very tight now. He sent me this picture of her. It was the first picture I saw of her. And I hit him up and I was like, she looks like Dolly Parton. Did anyone tell her? He said she got that all the time. People were always telling she looked like Dolly, and she loved that. She loved
that. Who wouldn't love that?
That she looked like Dolly.
Yeah.
So I kind of went into this deep dive on Dolly Parton, and I would watch I've watched every episode that she's ever been in. I've watched every movie she's ever been in, every interview, every song. Like, she's the reason I even know how to play banjo. I'd watch videos of her playing banjo and, like, mimic her, and that's how I learned banjo. I just wanted to feel like my mom was alive again, and I could see my mom in her. And so I would watch all these things, and it made me feel like she was there. One of the things I learned about Dolly was that her first single that really broke her was called Dumb Blonde.
Yeah.
And I loved how cheeky it was and witty it was, and how at the end of the day, Dolly Parton will have the last laugh, honey. She will always have the last laugh, whether, you know, she said so many times, you know, people will look at her appearance and they'll judge her for that, but it just doesn't matter because she knows who she is. And Dumb Blonde felt like such an amazing expression. And I had this idea, what if I could do that? Because I looked at her, I looked at my mom. My mom was blonde, Dolly was blonde. It felt like such a powerful thing for me. So I went blonde. And it made me feel closer to my mom. This hair feels like protection from the mom that I didn't have. And I wanted to take that, put it in a song that, you know, blondes have more fun and all that.
Yeah.
Put it in a song that would make you think, oh, this is about to be like, I'm going blonde. When in actuality, it's about not being able to meet my birth mother and keeping her close to me through the color of my hair.
Okay, so Tanner Adele, thank you so much for coming in to see us. Will you come back and see us every time you're here, please?
Yes, please. Every time.
Lovely to see you. I'll see you again
soon.
Thank
you for having me.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk Podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.